to skip the reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup."
We've got back to a lot of action this week. It's been a good week here at the Sandyville Church of Christ. It's been announced by Randall and the things that are happening here. Sometimes the Lord gets on the roll and defeats the evil one. We like to see that. We like to see it, and we know that the angels in heaven rejoice this week. We too rejoice with those that are being converted and those that have been restored to the Lord once again. Appreciate the selection of Terry's songs this morning, John's Prayer. The songs go well with the lesson. Appreciate Brock and Sister reading. Hope you're into it. Hope you're into the Word of God. We're going to be in the Word of God. Let's work in the Word of God. 3 John. So I'm going to start 3 John. Of course, just one chapter. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Notice what John says. We're going to worship God together this day. Good way to start out the week. All together, all worshiping God. Look at verse 2. He says, 3 John verse 2, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and you may be in good health, just as your soul prospers." That's the New American Standard Version. I want to ask you a question this morning. How healthy is your dog? How healthy is your dog? We're down to one dog at our house. I didn't think we'd ever just have one dog, Troubadour, Truby, and that's the only dog that we have. A lot of folks in here have pets and animals. Dave's got four dogs. All of this is four pets. They just feed them good. But we've been having trouble with Truby, and of course I take him to the best vet in the country, Abigail. She's not here this morning. She treats him right. She gives him a good going over a lot. Claws, and we've been having, she tried to sell me some high dollar peroxide shampoo, and I thought, well, I got peroxide, so I did that. Now, he's not brindle anymore, he's just brown. I bleached out his hair. He looks all goofy, but he doesn't itch as bad as he did. She gave me some kind of experimental shot, you know. So we're all concerned about, I think we should be concerned about our animal's health. And, you know, the thing about that, I say all that to say, when it comes to that, nobody says, what did you do that for? Let me take your dog to the vet for. Why would you do that? Nobody questions that. Nobody doesn't think that's a bad idea. And we all understand the importance of our pets being healthy, but it's just not about our pet being healthy, is it? No, there's a lot of health issues out there. All of us are concerned personally about our own health, no doubt about it. We're all concerned about how we're feeling, how we're doing, which way we're going, all kinds of diet things going on out there, forks over knives, what is something, I should look more of it up, but Whole30, Nutrisystem, all this stuff going on in regard to our health, and the diet clubs have been established. The hippies next door, they're onto something. We don't eat anything now that has a face. Think about that. Or what? If it has a face, we don't eat what it produces. Now think about that. Okay. Just a note on what we're doing over there. Sometimes you might see us over there with our lace cloth candy too. I don't know. But, you know, we think about, we're all doing health, we're all running 5Ks, we're all doing marathons, we're swimming, we're biking, we're all concerned about our health. But let me ask you the question this morning, really the question this morning is, how healthy is your soul? How healthy is your soul? Now, really, that's what the text says here. Look at it again. It says, "I'm praying that things will go well with you, that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul." I like this translation. "I hope that you are as healthy in body," he says, "as you are strong in spirit." How healthy is your soul? When is the last time that you had a spiritual going over? That you had a spiritual exam? That you had a spiritual checkup? The church was long ago. Called their preachers, called their ministers, physicians of the soul. Now, I don't like to say myself that way. I like to think of myself as maybe a physician's assistant to the great physician. I'm humbled before him, the greatest teacher of all time. But I think that all of you can see where this lesson might be going, what we're thinking about this morning. But I don't want you to panic. We're not going to get up on the exam table. We're not going to get on scales. We're not going to put those embarrassing hospital gowns. Nobody's going to have to wear them. But I do want this morning, I do want to be able for you to check your spiritual health. And in that regard, I want you to think and go deeply about your health, about your own spirituality when it comes to you and the Lord. I'm going to be asking three questions this morning in regard to that will help us see that and maybe diagnose some of the spiritual conditions, our health, that we have when we take a look at that. Hey, to get started, let's load up some scripture here. Let's turn to Psalms 139. David, when I think of David, I think of a spiritually minded man, don't you? David, I'm just very spiritually minded. But I want to highlight maybe why there is value in this kind of exercise before we begin. Look at verse 23. David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me. And lead me," he says, "in the everlasting way." Lead me in the everlasting way. Spiritually minded David, search my heart. Know me. Alright? Now I think the parallel of that in the New Testament, Paul says, let's look. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Really what Paul, and I guess it's a counterpart to what I just read. But what Paul does, he just flat out tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, he says verse 5, notice what he says, I'll get there. He says this, "Test yourself, examine yourself," flat out tell us, "to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourself. Or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed," he says, "you fail the test, you fail the examination." Alright? You're not there, that's what he's talking about. And in fact, what Block read, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, what we're told, and this is in worship. This is even during worship. We are exhorted and told, commanded by Paul, to examine ourselves. So get on table. I want you to get on the spiritual examination table. I want you to search yourself out and probe your spiritual health deeply. Are you ready for that? You want to do that? I think the verse, really the first place where I'll start out, when we think about that, is we need to think a little bit about our relationship with God. And I want to ask the question, am I thirsty? Are you thirsty for God? Are you thirsty for God this morning? Maybe that's surprising to some of you that I would ask that question. Probably you thought the preacher up here would start hammering about it, talking about spiritual health, start talking about how do you read the Bible, talk about your attendance, you know, you're here. Are you going to be here tonight? Why don't you come on Wednesday night? Now, those are all important and vital questions. Look at your checkbook. How are you doing there? How's the checkbook going? Are you giving as you prosper here? Are you supporting the work here? Are you doing that? Now, those are all important things that we need to ask and we need to consider in our spiritual health. But I want you to understand that all of those things are outside. All of those things are outside. All right? It is a good way to maybe get us to monitor and check and maybe reveal how we're doing in some of those areas. But those things are on the outside of us. What I want you to think about and where I want you to begin is inside. I want you to think internally. Jesus does that in Matthew 22. On this day in Matthew 22, notice what the Lord is talking about there. In Matthew 22, he gets asked several questions in this text, all through the text. But he gets asked the greatest question, verse 36. What's the greatest commandment? What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus responds in verse 37. He says what? This is the greatest commandment. That you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Now, that is an internal measurement. That's an internal metric. It's something that comes from within.
And that's something, that statement that the Lord just made, that's something that comes from within and that goes outward. That goes outward in all of us. Do you know the Lord? Do you know it? Are you thirsty for it? That's
what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. Paul looked at that kind of terminology there. Really what Paul does there is that he's searching out, telling us some of his history there. But I like what he says in verse 8. He's going to count his laws, all those things. Doesn't matter. Verse 9. And may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law. He says, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. There it is. Now we're getting it. Do you know the Lord? Do you have a relationship with God? Do you know it? Or is your idea of relationship coming here once a week, propping yourself up, and paying dues? Is that your idea of a relationship with the Lord? Because everybody that I know is thirsty for something. We are. Everybody that I've ever met, and even knew myself, that was thirsty for something. And you know what? I think Jesus does a good job explaining that. Talk about metaphors. Turn to John 4. He's talking about water. He's talking about living water. He's talking about physical water. Notice what he says in verse 13. He says this. John chapter 4, verse 13. He says, Jesus answered her and said, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. Talking about physical water. Parallel that to the physical things of life. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Talking about spiritual water. Jesus is exactly right. If you're thirsting after the physical water, you're going to thirst again. I tell you what, look around. Everybody around me is parched. Everybody around me is dying of thirst. What they're trying to do is fill that thirst, satisfy that thirst with anything and everything. Everybody's trying sex, we're trying education, we're trying entertainment, we're trying all kinds of things to quench the thirst that is in us from God. And doing everything about it. Now, you and I, we know better than that, don't we? We know that those things, we understand the thirst that God is talking about cannot be quenched by those things that the world thinks can quench the thirst of the world. There's a hole in our heart, a God-shaped hole that's in our heart that we recognize that only God can fulfill. The world can't do it. You know, inspired man, Augustine said this, and I think it's on the money, this quote, thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are ever restless until we rest with thee. We know that. We understand that. Still, sometimes, we can stray from the truth. We can drift from the truth. And what happens, I think, a lot of times in the life, you know what we say? We say, well, someday, I'm really, really, really going to come to know God. Someday, I'm going to really, really, really develop a relationship with God. Someday, I'm going to get this thing right. Someday, I'm going to get really serious about serving God. But until then, I'm just going to do this church stuff. I'm just going to do this religious stuff. Until that time comes around, that's what I'm going to be doing. So let's think about that. Let's think about that in your spiritual examination as we're looking at this. How thirsty are you for the Lord? Are you questing for a relationship with God? Are you doing that? Are you looking? Are you thinking? Are you knowing? I want a real relationship with God. That's what I want. And I want to be interested in God. I want to serve God. I want you to know that it's important for me to do that. Is that important to you? Where's that at in your life? Faith always has a huge or is a huge component in a genuine relationship with God. There's no doubt about it. And if the things that I've just said, if that's not you, I mean, if this mark is going up and it's like, wait a minute, I don't know. And the great physician would be examining your heart right now. Would he be saying, you know, I don't know. I'm seeing a lot of things here I don't like.
Now,
there's help for that. Some of it in Psalms again. Here's some great ideas, I believe, that will help you build a better relationship with God. Maybe offer some help in that direction. Psalm 63. Notice what he says, verse 1. O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you. In dry and weary land, where there is no water, thus I have seen you in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory. You feeling sore on that end of the deal in your examination? Worship God. Be here when we worship God. Worship God in spirit and in truth. Know God. To know God is to worship God. You need to focus on God when you're here in worship. Notice verse 3. He says, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. Honor God. His loving kindness. Look at that. His steadfastness. He stands with us at all times. I think that's something you need to recognize. Notice that. Verse 4 and 5. So, I'll bless you. As long as I live, I'll lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as the marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praise with joyful lips. Think about God. Think about His covenant love, His steadfastness. Think about all of that. And think about God always, you know what He does? He always does what He says He's going to do. That's important in our relationship. How He cares for us. How He always has cared for us. Another thing. Verse 6. He says, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you day and night in the night watch. You know what? If the only time you think about God is when you're trying to get ready this morning to get over here before start time, and the only time you think about His right here, you're not going to have a relationship with God. Think about God more. That's His point there. Verse 7. Notice what He says. For you have been my help, and my shadow of your wings I sing for joy. Can you think about the time that God was your help, that rescued you? When you were down and out, when you didn't have a place to turn to, God's always there. God's always there to help. My soul, verse 8, clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Next time you look around and pat yourself on the back, no matter where you are in your life, look at all you've done. How about giving God credit? How about giving God the credit to say, this is what God has done, not what I've done. In your relationship with God, if it's not good, brethren and friends, it's not because God left you. God is not to blame if you do not have a relationship with God that is defined in the New Testament that Christians need to have, must have, to survive in this world and to find eternal life. We need to have that relationship with God. One more passage. Let's go back to Psalm. Let's look at Psalm 42. Psalm 42, notice what he says. Verse 1. As the deer pants for the water, brook, so my soul pants for you, he says, O Lord. Well, in the beginning, if you really look at this spiritual exam and a spiritual checkup, I think that we all have, are we in a living, breathing relationship with God? Are you? I thirst the audience for that. To really know God. Second question. Morning. I would ask, are you more and more motivated by God's Word? Just flat out ask that. Am I more and more motivated by God's Word? More and more, is the Bible a decisive factor in my life and the decisions I make in my life and what I do in my life? You know, in the Word of God, there are a number of metaphors that the Bible uses to describe itself. The Bible is described in a lot of ways. We're talking a little bit about that. Lamp, described as a lamp. It's described as a sword. But a lot of places, the Bible is described as food. Food. And the benefits of food. The Bible describes itself as food. And notice, I think a good place, Matthew 4. I think on your handout, where the Lord was tempted in Matthew 4 by Satan. And what did he say in Matthew 4, verse 4? He says, it is written, man shall not live by what? Bread alone. What are we going to live by? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Alright? Now, that's not unusual to hear that in the Word of God. Psalms 19 compares the Word of God with honey. Jeremiah says how sweet that is. They eat that. Alright? You get that picture.
Ezekiel and yes, John, both of those were told to eat the Word of God. So over and over again, the Bible talks about itself about as being food, and that ought to tell us the value of this book to us. I'll say a little something about food. You know, I've never met a food collector. Okay, have you ever met a food collector? You ever been to somebody's house and they go, hey, come on, I want to sell my collection. And you go over to, and here's this big cabinet. It's not about dishes, it's got food in it. And the guy goes to the top shelf, he pulls out this biscuit. Oh, it's this biscuit. My grandma made this in 1972 at Christmas. I'm telling you what, it's the best biscuit you ever ate. And then he pulls out some ribs there on shelf two. Oh, I found these ribs down in Kentucky. Go a whole ball place. I'll tell you what is the best ribs you'll ever eat. And I just had to put them in my collection. You know what I mean? It's great. And hey, I want to tell you shelf three. Just chicken sandwich, man. And you know what it's wrapped in. I was in the ballpark with it. When I seen it, I thought, I gotta have this before I have my collection. That chicken sandwich is wrapped in a donut. Nobody collects food. Nobody does that. Why don't we collect food? Because it goes bad. It'll get gross. The food that you get, the what? Has to go inside of it. It has to go inside of you to benefit you, to regenerate, to rejuvenate cells, all those things. You got the science guy here. You got to take it in. You must take food in before it does you any good. You can't put it on the shelf, not use it. Won't work. All right. Let's ask about something. Let's ask about the daily Bible reading. I remember in 2017, I'm like you, I make all these things, hey, I'm going to do this, the Bible's not going to slip through this preacher's hands, I'm going to read, and I did, and I do, but you know what, I caught myself doing this, I just read sometimes for the sake of reading, and sometimes after I get done reading, I'll go, okay, hey, I cover four chapters. And if somebody's looking at me and say, what'd you learn? What? It doesn't matter. I just read. It doesn't matter. I got the information. All right. James chapter 1. I want us to ask the question, if what we're doing when we read the Word of God, are we doing it just to put in time? Or are we reading the Word of God to be controlled by it? Are we reading the Word of God so that it dominates our lives? Because we're taking it in? Look at verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. He says, but prove yourselves doers of the word. Doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Now, Jeff Gordon West Virginia International Version says, do the word. That's what that says. Do the word. Don't just be reading, just for the sake of reading. This passage says, Bible reading means Bible living. James wants you to get that. Now, what does that mean? Let's work that a little bit. What do you think about that? Do you make decisions based on what God's Word says? In major decisions that come up in your life, if the first thing that comes to your mind, I wonder what God's Word says about this. And I wonder if there's something in God's Word. You know what? If I don't know, maybe I need to call one of the elders or somebody maybe knows a little bit more about the Bible. I'm facing a crucial decision. Is there an example in the Bible where somebody did this or a principle in the Bible said maybe I can apply my life and make this decision, help me make that decision? Is that in your life? Did you think about God's Word like that? How about we're in Bible class? And we're in Bible class and we're just having a good discussion. We're in text. We're working the text. And somebody reads something. Somebody makes a comment and you go, that's me. That's me. I need to change in that area. So when is the last time that hits you like that? And the Bible revealed to you, hey, I've got to make sense. Do you remember doing that? Have you ever done that? How about you reading something and somebody says something and you go, I'm not doing enough of that. I fall way short in that area. I'll tell you what, I'm like Grace Barr a little bit. You ever done that? You ever think about that? Here's a tough question. Do you depend on the Word of God? Do you depend on the Word of God? I'm going to tell you something. All of us depend on something. You know what most of us depend on? Feelings. Our feelings. Our emotions. That's what we depend on.
We depend on God's Word to lead, guide, and direct us. And therein, you know the power of the Holy Spirit. Therein, you know what God wants you to do. Or do we just say God laid it on the heart and avoid what the Bible says? The Bible says something I don't like. Do I do what the Bible says? Anyway, do it. Boy, lots of stuff in there I don't want. Do I do it anyway? Do I examine where that resistance is coming from? When I want to go against it, do I meditate and think, now where's that coming from? I need to address that. I need to humble myself before God and His Word. I need to do that. Did you do that? Did you think that way? See the metaphor? Psalm 119. Common text. Look at this in verse 105. I love the use and the idea of life here. Your word is a lamp to my feet. It is a light, he says. It's a light to my path. Wherever I go, whatever you're doing, whatever you're involved in, whatever choices you make, the light ahead of you is lit. If you allow God's Word to govern you. If you're using God's Word in your life, that way the path will be clear. That's his point. A long time ago, a church wrote this. When a Christian can read his Bible with no spiritual taste, when he searches it not with a sincere desire to know the mind of God, to walk a holy and obedient life, but instead, with just a mere curiosity, it is sure evidence that his soul is going backwards. This morning, I'm not asking you if you're reading your Bible. I pray that's a given. I hope you don't go a day and don't read the Bible. I'm not asking you if you're reading your Bible. What I'm asking you is, why? Why are you reading your Bible? Why would you read the Bible? Are you reading it so you can be governed by it? Are you reading it so that you can be controlled by the Word of God so that you can live your life like God would have us to live? Great Physician puts the big x-ray up on the big light. There's the insides of you, full of cancers and tumors. Everything that looks ugly right now. Why is it? Because you are not taking in the spiritual nutrition that is provided by the Word of God. You are not making application to your life. It is not important enough for you to do that. But the great physician looks at your x-ray and goes, I'm seeing some things here I don't like. And here's the reason. You need to fix that. Because the total consequence is worse. Fine. Third question. Slow down worse a little bit. What happens in worship? Everything about that, really, these two questions that we've addressed, these two things that we've addressed, I think really just come to a head in worship. In worship, what we do, well, we're seeking God. We're worshiping God. We're honoring God. We're committing ourselves to God. We want to deepen our relationship with God. Everything in worship, though, is controlled how? It's controlled by the Word, is it not? Certainly. Everything we're doing here is controlled by the Word of God, and we're hearing the Word of God. We're being rebuked by the Word of God. We're being admonished by the Word of God, taught by the Word of God, encouraged by the Word of God, exhorted from the Word of God, all from the Word of God. That's what's been going on here in this hour. All right? Now, both of those first two ideas of worship, I think, from being thirsty for God, from being governed by God's Word, come to worship. That really comes ahead here. Don't we worship twice today? We're going to do that twice. We're going to have that fervor, that spirit that we need to have. We're going to do that twice. We're going to be immersed in our thoughts to God. But just like Bible reading, you know, it may not necessarily make you healthy just to be here. Just to come here and pop yourself up in a pew is not going to make you a healthy Christian any more than, what I say, sitting in a garage is going to make you a car. It just doesn't work. That's not how it works. Let's work on that for a moment. Isaiah, let's talk about Isaiah. Let's talk about Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. Get some ideas from worship. Good ideas from worship. Look what he says. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty, exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, having each six wings. With two he covered his face, two he covered his feet, and two he flew. One called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. There's our words. Then I said, "Woe is me, for I'm ruined, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among the people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away from you, and your sins are forgiven." Then I heard the voice of the Lord say, "Whom shall I send, and who will go with us?" Then Isaiah said, "Here I am, send me." First and foremost, I want you to recognize the worship is about seeing God. And in a very real sense, Isaiah seeing God here. Now that's what we're attempting to do. We're attempting to see God here. We see him through the eye of faith. That's how we behold God this morning. We see him in the eye of faith. We see the Lord. We hear the Lord. We bow down before him. That's what we've assembled to do. We want a little bit of heaven right here on earth this morning as we're worshiping with thanks to God Almighty. People of God are here today. We exalt God. That's what we're doing. Which means, secondly, as you look at that, worship is about you. Worship is not about you. Isaiah at no point said, "You know, that song, holy, 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 so repetitive, yeah. I don't know about it, you know what I mean?" And he never says, "You know, that smoke thing, that might be a little bit, a little bit rough around the edges. It kind of scares me. It's not real positive. Can we do a little bit more positive things in worship service? I feel like that smoke thing." You know, you think about that. And at no point does Isaiah, raise the service. "Oh, that seraphim, they're on key. But you know what? I think the whole atmosphere of the place is kind of like, down. It doesn't really work for me. Can we do better than that?" Right here. Right now. We've been worshiping God. You worshiping God? Are you seeing God in the songs that we sing? You seeing God in the prayers that are uttered? You seeing God in the scripture reading? Are you seeing God as we're working the text here? Are you seeking God? Are you seeking to please him? Are we rating the service? You know, why do we have to sing that song again? I sure didn't like that prayer. Why do we have to stand? Is that where we are? Thumbs up, thumbs down, we kind of movie critics of what we do. Is that it? Never about us. Now, I want you to look further in the text. Look at verse 5. When worship is done right, you know what it does for us? It makes us realize, Isaiah says, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips." When we worship the Lord, folks, we see ourselves as who we are. We are sinners. That's what Isaiah projected. I want to tell you something. The great need of our time for us to put this nonsense and this clutter of our culture aside and not listen, not heed to us just for a moment. All this business about you being self-sufficient, self-reporting, everything's about you. This culture of all of that that's out there that permeates all of us. The culture feeds us. Oh, what is that about? I'll tell you what, it needs to be shoved aside. When you're here, that needs to be shoved aside. Because this time, this moment in time in your life, you need to see who you really are. We are sinners that need a Savior. That's what this is about. Is that happening in worship today? Remember, this isn't about coming here and looking at him and saying, "I'm on my way. I'm a lot better than that guy. He's so spiritually inadequate." That's not what this is about. We can't prop ourselves up to somebody else. When I'm here, you know who I need to see? I need to see God. And I need to see God's holiness. And in doing that, I'll tell you what it does for me. It puts me where I need to be and where I need to see myself. That's what this worship service is about. When we see that in worship, when we see that it's not about us and it's all about God, you know what, verse 8? It says, it really, it fits you to serve.
You want to go out. God becomes a priority. God becomes important to you. What does God want done? How can I glorify God? That's what happens. I'm working the Lord. I'm seeing the Lord. But now that I'm done worshiping the Lord, I want to leave this place and see what I can do for God. That it's not about me. Worship equips us to go forth and serve God Almighty. That's what a Christian's supposed to do. So what's happening during worship? What's happening during worship here for you? I'm telling you, it's a great way to assess your spiritual health. How you feeling? How's the great physician looking at you now? As you do the exam, that's 1 Corinthians 11, what Brock read. Look at that verse 28. We're told to examine ourselves. Now, some people of Corinth were not doing that, verse 29, which means, I want you to look at verse 30. Verse 30 says, and it's causing many of you to be weak and ill, and some, because of how they worship and live their life, have died. We got the walking dead among us. You dead today? You passed the spiritual grant? Have you given it up? I tell you what, if you don't do this as you should, the Bible's very clear, wrong worship, failed worship, the inevitable, it's going to lead to spiritual death. That's what happens. So place yourself there. Place all your thoughts here. How is my worship? I'm thirsty for God. Does the Bible really direct my life? Do I really have a relationship? Do I know God? Ask yourself those things. Put you up the phone book. I must tell you, I'm very glad I hauled my dog to the vet and let Abigail check him over. Rather expensive, but that's all right. And it is true that we all need to see a regular doctor with regular checkups for all their health. We know that. Nobody would question that. But the real question this morning is not how healthy your dog is, not healthy how healthy you are. How healthy is your soul? How healthy is your soul? This morning, I hope you've allowed the great physician to give you that checkup. And this morning, I hope you're honest with the results. And I hope you're honest enough to make the changes necessary to make the results that the great physician will approve of. Jesus said he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's the commission that I've been commissioned to preach and teach. You too. That is it. Jesus says faith plus baptism equals salvation. The Baptist is ready. Please come. That's together we stand in prayer.